Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Hebrews. The New Testament book of Hebrews and Hebrews and chapter number 6. Of course, today is Mother's Day and we want to have an appropriate Mother's Day. But we're also doing a study this year on the power of God's name. And with it, not just studying the names of God, but how is the name of God used in the Bible? So that way we could have a better understanding of the importance of His name and how it is used. And we find a very powerful example of how God's name is used in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. If you don't mind, look with me in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6, and we're going to put our attention on a single verse. Notice with me in verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards His name, that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Notice, if you don't mind, as we see this phrase where it says in verse number 10, starts with the word love, and then notice showed towards His name. Love showed towards His name. And with this, we are going to teach this principle, and the way that we teach this principle is we're going to do a character study of two women in the Bible and study their life and see how their life teaches and portrays and gives the example of this principle of love showed towards His name. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just give us grace and mercy, that you would give us understanding, that you would help us to understand this principle, especially as we could see it lived out in the life of two historical women, and that we could apply it to our lives now by seeing this example, understanding the principle, and that we too can live lives and labor with love showed towards your name. I'm very conscious that these folks don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. So I'm asking that your Spirit would get your own work accomplished through your precious word, that you would set aside distractions, that you would set aside any other concerns and worries, and that for this moment of time, we could take time to look at your precious word, to glean from it, and that you can glorify your own name. Again, God, you do something to draw people's hearts and attention towards you. Lord, do a work. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 6, or chapter 6 and verse 10, forgive me, is a very subtle reminder. In fact, this is a verse that maybe is easy to skim over and not to grasp the meaning of it. But in this verse, we could see this work that has often gone unnoticed is actually appreciated to God. It may not get the recognition, it may not be the applause, but they're doing it for the love of God, the love showed towards His sake. And yet we see here that God sees and He remembers it. Notice the verse again. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Notice this. We could see that unrighteous carries the idea of not righteous. That means that we could see the opposite, that God is righteous by showing, by not forgetting your work and labor of love. That if God was to forget that you served Him and He forgot it, God would be an unrighteous God. But He is not unrighteous. God is very righteous. to remember your work, your labor of love that is showed towards his name. That means the little things that you do, the things that you think is not important, not noticed, not applauded, God sees and God remembers. You know, there's oftentimes that we think that in order to please God, in order to serve God, it has to be some grand gesture. That only the people that are pleasing to God are pastors of churches, great missionaries across the sea, the people who slayed the dragons. We think that sometimes that the great heroes are going to be the people who do something unbelievable, do something that we look and go, wow. But God says, I see everything that you do. Amen. And it does not go unnoticed. You may think it's no big deal, but God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That means he is righteous to remember your work and your labor of love. Now, that's an encouragement because there's many times we do things behind the scenes. There are many times we do things that nobody ever notices, but God does. In addition, we don't realize what a legacy those little things piled up will actually leave. To illustrate this example and the legacy that is left, we want to look at an example of two women in their life and be able to study the example of them, that these are two women that did not do miracles, two women who did not lead nations, but they passed on a living, sincere life. And God recorded their names in the Bible as a testimony of what it looks like to have love showed towards his name. We will come back to Hebrews chapter 6 in a moment, but I would like to introduce you to these two ladies as we find them in the book of 1 Timothy. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we're introduced as Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he makes mention of two women in this personal letter to Timothy. We see them introduced in the book of 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. And if you don't mind, let's look at these two ladies here. And we want to see that they were known by their faithful teaching and guidance. Faithful teaching. So what does it mean? What type of things can we do for love showed towards his name? Well, we could see faithful teaching and guidance. Notice in verse number 5, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul is at the end of his life. He is about ready to die. He's writing one last letter to Timothy. And as he's thinking about Timothy, he says, Timothy, there's one thing about you is that you have an unfeigned faith. Now let's define our terms. What is this unfeigned faith? This unfeigned faith carries the idea of a sincere, authentic, real faith. That we know the word feign carries an idea of making a fake. So if someone playing a game would make a fake move, they would feign to the left, but they're actually going to the right. They're trying to fool, trying to pretend they're to do something. An unfeigned faith is a faith that doesn't have trickery. It's not trying to deceive. It's real and sincere. That movement is what they're going to do. And Paul says, you have an unfeigned faith, Timothy, but I know where it came from. You didn't develop this yourself. It was first found in your grandmother when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois. So Timothy's grandmother was Lois, and she had an unfeigned faith. She had the unfeigned faith that she gave to her daughter, and that is in thy mother Eunice. So Lois was the grandmother, Eunice was the mother, and I am persuaded in thee also. He says, Timothy, Your unfeigned faith, your sincere, your real faith, your sincere faith, that didn't come because of you. And Paul is honest to say it didn't come because of me. It came because of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. They had a real faith that studied. Now, we learned something about this. If you don't mind, may I just give you a quick little summary of Timothy's life? Timothy had a Greek father. What does that mean? He was a Gentile. He was not Hebrew. He was not a believer. What this means is that the faith that Timothy received in his home, the Bible training, the Bible reading, it came from his mother and his grandmother, not his father. You say, well, is that what should happen? No, but we understand all too realistically, there are times that the father is absent. Maybe not absent physically, but maybe he's absent in the training of God's word. Well, if the father's not training, does that mean that the mother says, well, I guess we're not doing anything and just give up? No, we see the example of a grandmother and a mother that said, Timothy, even though your father may not follow our faith, even though your father may not be sincere in this, maybe your father may be just doing things just because we are, we're going to teach you a real faith in God. And he developed this faith in God because of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Now, this goes back to the principle that they had an unfeigned faith, love showed towards God's name. You know, you have two women here who realized that it wasn't just about parenting. It was a ministry. That they had a ministry, a labor, a work for God's name to invest in this young child, Timothy. They discipled him. They disciplined him. They showed him and carried with him an unfeigned faith. The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 14, just looking, show you this, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Notice it goes on. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. If you go review the book of Acts, Paul did not run into Timothy until he was a teenager, 20-year-old, maybe even mid-20s. So how did Timothy learn the Scriptures as a child if Paul didn't teach him? His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They taught Timothy from a child the Holy Scriptures. And remember what Paul said in verse 14? He says, but thou continue in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, your grandmother had an unfeigned faith, and she loved the Bible, and she taught you the Bible. Your mother Eunice loved you, loved the Bible, and taught you the Bible. Timothy, I want you to remember where you learned this from. And be assured of the faith that you have is real because you saw the sincere, real faith of your mother and your grandmother. And that made a difference. What does that mean? Who taught him the Scripture? He had a godly mother who would take time and say, son, read the Bible. You need to read your Bible. And it wasn't just she said, read the Bible. She got caught reading the Bible. You know, we get caught doing all kinds of things we shouldn't be. Have you ever been caught reading your Bible? Have you ever been caught praying? Well, both the grandmother and mother, they weren't doing it for show. They weren't doing it because they had to. There would be times that Timothy would go in and he wanted to go talk to mom and mom's praying. He says, no, I'm going to let her pray. He would catch her praying. When's the last time you got caught praying? Not for show, but you were laboring and praying, Lord, please, I need help. I need wisdom now. Lord, I need you to help a decision. And someone catches you. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. It may disrupt it, but praise the Lord if you ever got caught praying. You ever got caught reading your Bible. Susanna Wesley was a mother of 14 children. Can you imagine? And with 14 kids, there was so much attention that needed to be given to them. But Susanna Wesley made sure every single one of her children got her uninvited attention, and she would set up times that, John, I got you. Charles, I got you. And she would sit them on their lap. She would read the Bible with them and pray with them individually. 14 kids! And of course, we know John and Charles Wesley were used to instigate, to be used as instruments for the First Great Awakening and start what we would call the Methodist Church. Where did they learn this unfeigned faith? Their mother. Amen. Who took the time to say, let's read the Bible together. Who took the time to say, let's pray together. By the way, that's not flashy. You don't do that in a report and say, praise the Lord, I read my Bible today, everyone applaud me. You don't do that for show. You don't do that for applause. You don't do it for recognition. You do it because it's what's right. We don't have mothers saying, I want to give a testimony. I read the Bible with my child this week. Everyone applaud me. Everyone acknowledge how great I am. You don't do it for applause. You don't do it for recognition. In fact, you may never even thought that's something to do. It's not. Why do you do it? Because it's what's right. The labor showed towards his name. I love the Lord and I want my kid to love the Lord. How do they get to know the Lord? By me introducing them, by me showing that my faith in God is real, not fake. I took the time to teach them, to read them. And Timothy, by the time he met Paul, already had a testimony of following after God. Before he met Paul. In fact, that's why Paul took him. He said, the whole church said, hey, here's a young man, Paul, who's really excited about the things of the Lord. He's been obedient. He's been following after things. I think he'd be good for you. And Paul said, Timothy, I think you should go with me. He did not become follower of Christ and following after God because of Paul. Paul chose him because he was following after Christ, following after. But where did he learn that from? A godly grandmother and a godly mother who took the time to teach Timothy how to have an unfeigned faith, a real fake, not a show fake. We know that there's a lot of people for show. I'll give an example. Some of you may have experienced this. That as you're driving to church, World War III has been going on in your vehicle. Fighting, pushing and shoving, pushing anything. The vehicle comes in two wheels. You open the, just get out! And everyone gets out and puts their Bible and puts on a smile. Hi, we're so happy. We're so good. Nothing's wrong. They put on a fake face. They put on a mask. Look, we're a perfect family. Look how, you are not. That's not a real faith. It's not consistent. It's not how it should be. There was something wrong. But instead, having a faith where the kids say, you know what? I know that if I ever have something wrong, I could go up to my parents, go up to my mom, and my mom will pray with me. That if I have some decision I need to make, mom says, well, let's pray about it. Come on, let's pray now. That it's not an unusual thing for prayer to happen in the house. It's not an unusual thing to have an open Bible in the house. Too many families get out of church, take their Bible, throw it in the back, and then have to look for it on Sunday morning when they get to church. I know my Bible's here. I had it last week. That's horrible. That's not an unfeigned faith. It is a fake faith. And we wonder why we have fake people and fake Christians and people's faith who is not real and cannot stand. Timothy had a grandmother who said, young Timothy, you need to know the books of the Bible. Let's teach you. And as a young child, he was taught the books of the Bible. He had a mother that said, Timothy, did you read your Bible today? All right, well, let's get it done. Let's read. Timothy, I'm having a bad day. Let me teach you what to do when I have a bad day. Let's pray together. They were able to pass Timothy a real faith by taking the time to teach them. No wonder God said, that he is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. That the mom's doing it because they love the kid and love God. And God says, I see that. I remember that. It's maybe not something that makes the papers. It's maybe not something that you showed up at church and said, let me show you how great of a Christian I am. But it's something you do because it's right. It's something you don't even think of. It's just something we do. And God says, I remember that. I see that. The labor of love when a mother responds properly to outside stimuli, unless not the normal blow up and explode and now everyone's running from the lava that's flowing from mom, getting away from the nuclear fallout that's coming. But to have a child to see, you know what? I know my mom was under a lot of pressure and she responded properly. My mom had a real faith under pressure. That, by the way, if Timothy's dad was not a believer, was there friction in the house from time to time? How did Timothy learn how to respond to criticism? By watching his mom respond correctly. By watching his mom respond. You know, we could all somehow force on a good show, but at home we relax our guard and we let everyone know how we're really feeling. Timothy was able to say, Mom, her faith was real. I watched as sometimes dad pushed her buttons and she didn't go nuclear. She responded by faith. And I know that was hard for her as I grow up and mature. That wasn't easy not to snap and give him a piece of her mind, but to respond by faith. Oh, how many godly mothers have influenced children because they watched as dad did something foolish and mom went to her knees and said, God, you take care of him. God, you take care of him. I can't change him. I'm tired of changing him. I can't do it. You have to change him. And then watch God answer that godly mother's prayer. How many sons have fallen away and it was their mother's prayers that chased them down? Here is a godly grandmother and a godly mother who gave faithful teaching and guidance to young Timothy and solidified his faith. So by the time God opened the door for him to go into ministry, he was already prepared and ready to learn from Paul. Paul did not start from scratch. He started with someone who was already taught faith and already following after God. As we turn back to Hebrews, let's learn some more. Let's see the principles we find in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, we're still covering the idea of Lois and Eunice, but now we're studying this verse in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 a little bit more specifically. Notice, if you don't mind, a consistent faith as an example. What did Lois and Eunice teach Timothy? A consistent faith as an example. Notice again in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister to the faith. Here, this isn't talking about grand gestures, but of a quiet, steady labor of love, that it's consistent, one that doesn't need a spotlight, one that doesn't leave a lasting impression. But yet God remembers this. Understand that Lois and Eunice are not famous and they never sought to be. There's a good chance that before today, you have never even heard of Lois and Eunice. Even if you read your Bible, you're like, well, okay, just read it and didn't even catch the names. Couldn't associate. You wouldn't know who they were. Yet God remembered and put their names in the faith. He said that they had an unfeigned faith. He put their name down. This isn't a kind of faith that's passed down because of ritual or learned because of tradition. It's genuine. It's proven. It was put to the test. Timothy just didn't hear the truth. He saw it in how his grandmother and his mother prayed. Let me tell you, any child, if you really want to teach your kid how real your faith is, let them listen to you pray. Let them listen to how you get a hold of God and how you speak with God. And they say, listen, God is real to them. Faith that is lived out consistently becomes an anchor for that next generation. when Paul wrote to him years later, it wasn't just doctrine he reminded of. He said, is the faith that was taught to you. The faith of two women who taught you to walk with God. In time, that faith helped Timothy and helped Timothy to stand strong in the ministry, to endure persecution, become a pillar in the church. This kind of legacy doesn't come from a single conversation or one moment of inspiration. It comes from a life of faithful obedience that Timothy was able to watch. I learned faith from my mom, from my grandmother. And because of that, God says, I'm watching that, and I'm not unrighteous to forget that. I will remember that. Those little things you did. You may not think that reading your Bible is important, but God says, I see it. And I could see what the influence is. You may think, well, that prayer that you're praying for patience not to kill people in the house. You say, well, no one knew I even prayed that. God did. And he saw your dependence and he saw your faith. You know, those days where nobody wants to go to church and you have to drag them. I heard someone said that they were raised on drugs. They were drugged to church Sunday morning. They were drugged to church Sunday night. They were drugged to church. A mother that said, listen, I don't care if you want to go to church or not, we're going. Why? Because her faith was consistent. Her faith was real. And the kids realized, mom's not playing. This is real to her. This isn't just something we do. This is something important. Because of that consistency, they saw that. And it left an impression. And God's going to honor that every moment of that labor of love. Again, sometimes we think that God is just going to honor our great acts of faith, our big sacrifices that everyone sees, when God says it's the little things that matter. And God is going to remember and bring up every time you acted on faith, every time you labored for his name, those times that you prayed and said, listen, I can't deal with the kids anymore until I get my book. I know I'm busy, but I have to read my Bible. I have to get it done. God says, I watched that. I saw that it was important to you and it mattered. It was a big deal. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name. I want to show you one more thing. The legacy, leaving a legacy of faith. Leaving a legacy of faith. Notice with me, if you don't mind, at the end of verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, that's very interesting that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You understand this is a principle of leaving a legacy. What type of legacy did they leave? They did not write books. They did not have recordings of them teaching classes. But they raised up a boy named Timothy and they taught him to know the scriptures. He took that knowledge that they taught him and he was able to pastor and influence other people because of a mother putting that into them. Imagine a mother, a godly mother, who takes time to say, listen, I know things aren't right in the house. It may not be the way that we want, but my faith is real. Let me teach you to read my Bible. Let me teach you to pray. Let me teach you to follow after God. And then what happens that God says, mom's faith is real and it affects him. And then that kid falls into the ministry, becomes a missionary. Every person that he influences and wins to the Lord is because of that mom. That's a lasting legacy. You see, you may not be the king, but you could raise a king. You could raise a child of the king. You could raise that child to follow after God. And everything that child does leaves a legacy. I brought back to Susanna Wesley, who raised 14 kids. One of them, John Wesley. One of them, Charles Wesley. Both of them used together helped bring what was called the First Great Awakening, which was a movement of God that started in England but came to the United States. And because of that, thousands of people came to know Christ as their Savior during the First Great Awakening. Because of that, We had a nation that was prepared to rule for itself and seek after God, preparing us for what was going to be called the United States. Without that first great awakening, we would not have a United States. You have a mother who said, I'm busy, I have 14 kids, but each one of my kids are important. I want to teach them faith. Put them on their knees. Because of that, Susanna Wesley has an influence of an entire nation. That wasn't her goal. Her goal was to put faith into those kids. But because of that faith, that has lasting results. Because a mother took time to raise those kids on her knee, to teach them, to spend personal time. Let's read our Bible together. Little John, let's pray together. Charles, let's sing together. By the way, we still sing Charles Wesley songs here. One of them is a famous Christmas song. I'll let you find it for yourself. We still sing his songs 500 years, 400 years later. Because a mom said, son, I'm going to take personal time with you today, Charles. And let's sing together. Let's sing for the Lord. And she might not think there's anything about singing Jesus Loves Me to little Charles Wesley. But God says, I see it. And that mattered. I see your labor of love and I'm not unrighteous to forget it. I'm going to remember that. The influence of a godly mother. The influence of a godly grandmother. Who says, I'm going to take this child and I'm going to influence the best I can. I know the home situation may not be right, but I'm going to use what influence I can and show them my faith is real, not fake, not imaginary, not just shows up when everyone else is looking. But an unfeigned faith that left a legacy that people were influenced because of that. You understand, we have a great power of influence, whether you realize it or not. And it's not because of a one-time talk. It is not because of one wise saying we go to them, but a consistent life that shows that it's sincere and real. It makes an impact. It influences others more than we'll ever see. And even more importantly, God sees every moment, every detail, every aspect, every labor of love which is showed towards his name. And he's not unrighteous to think about that. You understand, there are times that you may want to give up and say, listen, it's not worth it anymore. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired. It'd just be easier just to say, kids, just stay home. It may be easier to stop trying to say, listen, we're going to serve what's right. It may be easier to say, fine, just do whatever you guys want. Listen, it may be easier to say, I don't have time to take my kid and try to read the Bible with them. It may be easier to say, I don't have time to take personal time and say, let's pray together as a family. Let's pray together one-on-one. It may be easier for all of that, but it's going to be better if you did. And God sees every moment of it. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let me tell you, let me give you an encouragement that what you do, even though it's small, even though it just seems like it doesn't matter, it matters. And it matters more than you think. So I want to ask you, dear friend, are you using your influence wisely? Are you the example of unfeigned faith to the people around you? Now, we could open it up. Mothers are not the only ones. Maybe you're a guy. I'm going to tell you, you have an influence. You can show people. When's the last time you gentlemen have been caught praying? When's the last time, gentlemen, you got caught reading your Bible? When's the last time that you influenced something because they saw that your faith was real when you didn't think they were watching you? This is something all of us can do. And as a reminder, every little act you do matters. You may say, well, it doesn't matter if I read my Bible today. I want to tell you it does. Well, if it doesn't matter if I skip prayer day today, I want to tell you it does. Well, it doesn't matter if I have a little flare up and get aggravated at something. Let me tell you, it does. It matters more than you could ever think of. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love showed towards his name. Maybe some of you need to shore some things up. Maybe some of you need to say, I need to make sure my faith is sincere, real, consistent. So that way God can use that consistent life to influence others. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you need to have a consistent life. As we said in here, if you're a parent, you need to have a consistent life. If you're a grandparent, you need to have a consistent life. We all have spheres of influence, and we have people who will follow the Lord or not follow the Lord based off of our own testimony. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love showed towards his name. Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, I'm asking that you would strengthen someone's faith. Maybe there's someone in here that just didn't realize how important it is to do their daily Bible reading, how important it is to get their time with prayer, how important it is to get that personal time with our kids and our grandkids so they can see the faith that we have. Lord, we may not realize how and who it is that we're influencing. Lord, I'm asking that we would take this influence wisely and that we would show the love that we have towards you and be consistent in the life that we have. Strengthen people up today and strengthen up our homes because of the decisions we make. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind to stand to your feet. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.